Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. What is the purpose of the Sabbath day? Last Sunday night, we went through the Old Testament to see how often the theme of the Sabbath rest appears throughout the Old Testament. And we began by talking about how the Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ, that it is a shadow of what is to come in Christ. The substance belongs to Christ. That's Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. You know, the Sabbath day is one of those things that we typically write off as not being applicable to us as Christians. It is a part of the old law, which has been nailed to the cross, but there's more to it than that. So last week, hopefully established the point that just saying the Sabbath day has been done away with as a part of the old law, that's an inadequate explanation to answering the question of what is the significance of the Sabbath day. If the Sabbath day is indeed a shadow of Christ, how is it fulfilled in Christ? How does Christ bring that to us? So tonight I want us to continue that thought and talk about how Jesus is our rest. And I want to begin here in Matthew chapter 11 with Jesus' famous invitation for people to come to him. Look at verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When Jesus offers his invitation here, he offers us rest. But have you ever thought about what that rest looks like? What that feels like in our lives today? He's offering rest to the people who are weary and who are burdened by life, by sin, as we're going to see in a little bit, by the incredible burden of the Jewish traditions, all the oral traditions that were passed down that people just could not keep. This is the rest that Jesus comes to bring us. And I believe that the rest that he's talking about here is the Sabbath rest. And the reason that I believe that is because in chapter 12, remember these chapter divisions are arbitrary and artificial. Chapter 12 begins with a controversy about the Sabbath day. Jesus begins talking about the Sabbath day and healing on the Sabbath day. And so this is really an invitation and an introduction to understanding what Jesus is talking about when he deals with the Sabbath day. Jesus is offering us a Sabbath rest. So let's read what chapter 12 says, and let's talk about what Jesus taught about the Sabbath day. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priest in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, Jesus went into their synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Jesus came to give us rest. And so how do we know that Jesus can actually give us rest? He gives us this offer in chapter 11. Come to me if you're weary and you're burdened, I will give you rest. But how do we know that Jesus has the authority to do that? And that's what this chapter explains and answers for us. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of rest. And so as such, he can give us rest. So this conversation really begins when the Pharisees say to the disciples, and to Jesus, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. So they were thinking that they violated God's command. Grazing in your neighbor's field was actually permitted under the old law, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. So what the disciples are doing as they're just walking through the field, and they're picking the grain and rubbing it in their hands and eating it basically as a snack. And so the Pharisees are thinking, well, that is violating the Sabbath day because it's work. What the Pharisees had done is they had taken what God had said about the Sabbath and not laboring and working on the Sabbath, and they'd expounded it, and they had created these 39 categories of what they defined as being work. One of those categories was reaping in your field. And so that's why they're condemning the disciples here, because they think that picking the heads of grain and rubbing them in your hands and eating them as a snack, that's reaping. That's doing work on the Sabbath day. So the oral traditions that have developed over the last couple hundred years were really, really stringent. Now, God had been clear about what should not be done on the Sabbath day. God had said, you rest. You do not do any laborious work. But what he had not done is spelled out exactly what that looks like in every situation. He didn't go line by line and point by point and tell the Jews, this is what work is and this is what work is not. Now, God had said a few specific things. In Exodus 16, he prohibited the Israelites who are in the wilderness at this time on their way to Sinai. He prohibited them from going out and gathering and cooking the manna. He also told them, don't kindle a fire for cooking. He told them in Numbers chapter 15, don't gather wood. Don't go out there and gather the wood that you need to chop for your family. We also see in the book of Nehemiah, when some of the traders would come into the city of Jerusalem, they would set up shop basically in the marketplace, and Nehemiah taught that's wrong on the Sabbath day, that's working. So God also prohibited buying and selling, basically business deals, on the Sabbath day. In other words, God had said, don't do what you would normally do on a work day on the Sabbath day. Beyond that, he hadn't really given many specifics. To the Pharisees and those that came before the Pharisees, that wasn't good enough. We need more extrapolations. We need more explanation of what this is. Now, actually, if you read some of the oral traditions, let me just read for you a quotation. It says, the rules about the Sabbath are like mountains hanging by a hair, because the teaching of Scripture is scanty and the rules are many. That's an admission by those who held up their traditions, basically saying, look, these are like mountains hanging by a thread. We can't hold all of them up as actually scriptural teachings, but these are just the extrapolations of. So there is an admission that these things are really weighty and they're not really rooted all in Scripture. So what Jesus teaches is you guys have completely missed the point of what the Sabbath day is about. So Jesus responds in this way. Verse 3, he says, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? And he's referring back to the story in 1 Samuel chapter 21 when David is running from Saul. And they come to the tabernacle where Abiathar is the priest. And he and his men are hungry. And so David puts up this cover that he's on a mission on behalf of Saul. He's there on his authority, so he needs to eat the bread that is there. Or actually, he says he's hungry. Do you have any bread on hand? And the priest says, we don't have any bread except for the bread that is on the table, which only the priests should eat. So Jesus' point here is we have to understand it in the context. Jesus is building an argument, helping them to see his authority as Lord over the Sabbath. Yes, it was unlawful for David to eat this bread. The law was very clear about that. Only the priest should eat this bread. But Scripture does not condemn David, and nor would the Pharisees. The Pharisees would not have condemned David for doing what he did. And the point that Jesus is going to get to is, if you're not condemning David for what he did, actually breaking the law, then why would you condemn me when I am greater than David? And then he goes on to give us a second illustration, verse 5. Or have you not read in the law? Both of these are questions, rhetorical questions. Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? Now you can go back into the law and read about that. The priests actually worked, and they worked hard on the Sabbath day. In fact, they worked twice as hard on the Sabbath day than they did any other day. So Leviticus chapter 24, verse 8, says that it was on the Sabbath day that they were to bake the new bread and put it out. And it was also in Numbers chapter 28 that he's describing the daily sacrifices that the priests were to offer morning and evening. On the Sabbath day, they were to offer twice as much sacrifices in the morning and twice as much in the evening. Jesus' point is, look, if you're going to be technical about things, the priests violate the Sabbath every single week by working on the Sabbath. But Jesus calls them innocent. So they're not really breaking the Sabbath day, because the same law that established the Sabbath day, the Mosaic law, is the same law that established the work of the priest. The priests were free under the law to, quote, break the Sabbath day and be innocent. And then verse 6, Jesus says, bringing his argument really to the main point, something greater than the temple is here. You know, you wouldn't condemn David for doing what he did. And you're not condemning the priests for doing what they do on the Sabbath day, but do you not understand who you're really dealing with here? Do you not really understand that something is greater than the temple here? The Pharisees would have justified the priests offering sacrifices on the Sabbath day by saying, look, they're doing an important work. You know, that they're not really working in the kind of way that God prohibited. They're doing work and they're offering sacrifices. Jesus would respond to them, do you not understand that my work is more important than the priest's work? What I'm doing as the Son of Man, I am the Lamb of God. In fact, he would say in John chapter 2, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He's not talking about the temple that was standing. He's talking about himself. He is the temple. Something greater than the physical temple was here. So if they do not condemn the priests, and they do not condemn David, then why would they condemn Jesus? And why would they condemn Jesus? Because he's not really breaking the Sabbath at all. He's only breaking their traditions about the Sabbath that they had developed. Jesus is greater than David. He is greater than the priest. He is greater than the temple. He had something in verse 7 that I think is important for us to add here. Jesus says, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy or compassion over sacrifice, then you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. This is a quotation from the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6, where in that context, God is highlighting the hypocrisy of his people. They were denying the law. They were rebelling against the law. They were stealing from one another. They were lying. They were cheating. But yet, the whole time, they were still offering sacrifices. And they were still taking oaths in God's name. They're still speaking about the law. The whole time, they're denying justice to the poor and the needy. And God says, look, there are greater things at stake than offering sacrifices. What I want from you, God says, is I want your heart. I want your compassion for people, and I want your mercy. And so Jesus is applying this to the situation, and he's saying that the Pharisees had basically and effectively removed compassion and mercy from the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was not really about all the stringent laws and traditions that they had built. The Sabbath day was about mercy. It was about compassion, and it was about the heart of your relationship with God. So instead of seeing the needs that people had, instead of seeing the need that David had to eat, instead of seeing the need that an ox has to be rescued, or a human being has need to be rescued. Then they focused on keeping the stringent laws and regulations for the Sabbath day. If we understand this principle, that there are greater things than the external laws that God has given to us, then there's a lot that's going to fall into place. There are greater things that are that more important things than just keeping the outward external things that God has given to us. In Mark's account of this same incident, Jesus also adds something else. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And I think that really kind of highlights the purpose of the actual Sabbath day. Remember back in Genesis chapter 2, the reason why the Jews were commanded to rest on the seventh day is because God himself rested on the seventh day of creation. And the point of that seventh day was to invite man, invite people to enjoy the creative work of God, to enjoy and rest in the creation. That's what the whole Garden of Eden is about, so that Adam and Eve and their descendants could enjoy the creation of God and rest with God. God wants us to enter into his rest. And so when Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, he's talking about the benefit that it brings to us. We weren't created to fit into the mold of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was created to benefit us. The Sabbath rest was about man enjoying the relationship that he has with God. It wasn't intended to be a burdensome commandment. It was intended to be a respite, a rest from the toilsome labor that God had confined mankind to ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. So, again, last week, Genesis chapter 2, God rested. And Genesis 3, later on in Genesis 2, he creates Adam and Eve and puts them in the garden, and they rest with God. And they rest until chapter 3 when they sin and their Adam and Eve have to labor. They have to work the ground and she has to give birth in great pain. That's the unrestful world that we live in today. That's the futile toil that we see in this world today. The purpose of the Sabbath day was to remind us that God wants us to get back to the original rest that he created for us. The Sabbath was made for man, for you and me, not the other way around. And then Jesus brings his whole argument to a close when he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And this is really the point I want to drive home tonight, is that if there's anyone who understood what the Sabbath was about, it wasn't the Pharisees, it wasn't the disciples, but it was Jesus. Jesus knows what the Sabbath day is all about. If Jesus is God, then he was there in Genesis chapter 2, resting with his Father. He rested. And so the Son of Man coming to this world and showing us what the Sabbath day is all about, he knows what it's about. The Pharisees, on the other hand, had completely missed the point. They had imposed human regulations upon us, upon the Jews, on the day that was intended to bring peace and rest and joy to the people of God as they think about and they turn their hearts to God. It wasn't a day for them to... it wasn't just the physical benefit of relaxing and having a day where they're not, you know, working, they're giving their bodies. There is a physical benefit, yes, but it was more than that. Remember, the purpose of the Sabbath day was to remember God as creator and God as redeemer. Jesus says, I know what that's about. I can show you what that is about. That is the true intention of the Sabbath day, to think about your relationship with God. The miracle that comes right after that illustrates everything that Jesus had just talked about. So he goes to the synagogue on a Sabbath day, and there's a man there who has a withered hand, and the Pharisees, they know Jesus. And so they're intending to trap him, to accuse him. And they ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And Jesus says to them in verse 13, he kind of turns the tables on them, as he often does. What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Look, if you've got an animal that's vital to your sustenance and to you and to your family, and you're providing for your family, it's in the pit or it's stuck in a ditch somewhere on a Sabbath day, what are you going to do? You're going to go and you're going to pull it out. You're going to rescue it. So they understand the principle of mercy when it comes to their own possessions, their own animals. But do they understand the principle of mercy when it comes to people? Jesus says, how much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? They didn't really care about this man who had the withered hand. They were just using him as a tool to accuse Jesus. But Jesus says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. What does that teach us about the purpose of the Sabbath day? Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. So Jesus proved that he was Lord of the Sabbath. That if he could heal someone on the Sabbath, he knew what the Sabbath day was all about. This is what it was all about, bringing restoration and healing to people. But the ironic thing here is in verse 14, that the Pharisees went out and they conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Who's really violating the Sabbath day here? Who's really not thinking about their relationship with God? Who's really not keeping their lives pure according to the law? It is not Jesus. Jesus is doing good on the Sabbath day. But what the Pharisees are doing, in their blindness and their pride and their prejudice, they're going out conspiring against Jesus to kill him. The fault is theirs because they misunderstood the Sabbath day. They would show mercy to their sheep, but not to a human being. So Jesus teaches that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath because the Sabbath day is about rest and showing mercy. Well, I asked you last Sunday to kind of think about some of the miracles that Jesus did on the Sabbath day and even write them down. And when I was preparing for the last couple, this lesson and the last one, I was amazed at just how many miracles Jesus did on the Sabbath day. Let me just give you a list here. The Gospels record Jesus performing 7 miracles on the Sabbath day. Now, I don't know if that's probably just coincidence, the number 7 being significant there. Probably just coincidence, but here is the list that I've come up with. The story we read here, the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, it's recorded also in Mark and Luke. In Mark chapter 1, we read about a man who is demon-possessed that Jesus heals on the Sabbath day. Right after that, Jesus goes to Simon's house and he heals his mother-in-law in Mark chapter 1, again on the Sabbath day. In Luke chapter 13, we read this in our Bible reading, or in our scripture reading, there's a woman who is stooped over. She's sick. She can't straighten herself up. And Jesus heals her on the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 14, there's a man who suffers from dropsy, which my limited understanding is that it's just, you know, a swelling, retention of fluids, that kinds of thing. Jesus heals him on the Sabbath day. John records for us 2 miracles on the Sabbath day. First of all, healing the lame man in John chapter 5, and then healing the man who is born blind in John chapter 9. 7 miracles that Jesus did on the Sabbath day. Here's what I want you to think about. Why? I mean, he could have chosen any other day to do miracles. But why did he, on these particular instances, choose to do it on the Sabbath day, especially if he knew the response that the Pharisees would have? I mean, the Sabbath controversy was one of those really hot points. In fact, as we saw in Matthew chapter 12, it is one of the very points that caused the Pharisees to want to kill Jesus. He doesn't keep the Sabbath day. So why is Jesus doing all these miracles on the Sabbath day? Does he just enjoy getting under their skin? Does he just enjoy getting the Pharisees mad? Or is he making a larger point of what the Sabbath day is all about and how he fulfills the Sabbath day? I want you to notice something about a couple of these passages. First of all, Luke chapter 13, if you'll go back there, Jesus says something. The story is very similar to the one we just studied in Matthew chapter 12. It's a healing in the synagogue on a Sabbath day. But Jesus says something important in verses 15 and 16. Remember, the synagogue official has said to Jesus, you know, don't do miracles on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days you can come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says in verse 15, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? The point that Jesus is making is, look, I could have healed this woman on Sunday through Friday. I could have. But I did it on the Sabbath day to show you that it's most appropriate to do it on the Sabbath day. Should she not have been healed on this very day? Because the day of the Sabbath was about deliverance. Remember Exodus chapter 20? God told them to keep this, Deuteronomy chapter 5. When he repeats the Ten Commandments, he doesn't mention keeping the Sabbath day because God created in 7 days, but because God brought them out of Egypt and he made them his own people. God wanted them to remember that he was their deliverer. The Sabbath day was about deliverance. And this woman had been bound for 18 years by Satan. 18 long years. It was most appropriate. This is the day when she should have been delivered. Jesus came to bring us healing. Jesus came to bring us deliverance from Satan. He is our rest. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. Also, notice the two times that Jesus does a miracle on the Sabbath day in John, Jesus specifically says, I'm working. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 17. The miracle has already taken place. We can read verse 2. There is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porticos. And in these lay a multitude of those who are sick, blind, lame, and withered. And so Jesus meets this man that is lame, and there's a superstition that if you're the first one into the water, whenever the angel stirs the pool, then you'll be healed. Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? And he says, you know, I have no one to help me get to the pool. And so Jesus says in verse 8, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. And that's the rub. So the Jews come to him and say to the man, you know, it's not lawful for you to carry your pallet on the Sabbath day. You're working by carrying your pallet. And he says, well, the man who healed me told me to do it. And in verse 16, for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working until now. Now, if you were a Jew listening to Jesus saying that, that would have been shocking. I am working on the Sabbath day, Jesus says. But what kind of work is he doing? He's not reaping, he's not harvesting, he's not planting, he's not doing the kind of things that they were not to do, but he is working the deliverance. He's giving mercy, he's showing the mercy of God by healing people. And so in verse 18, for this reason, therefore the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Go to John chapter 9. This is when Jesus heals the blind man. Verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. It's one of those passages that, you know, if you read it by itself, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, what is he talking about here? And then we read later on in the chapter that Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath day. Jesus worked on the Sabbath day. Why is he making this point? Because he's showing that the works that he is doing on the Sabbath day is what the Sabbath day is all about. It is bringing deliverance. It is bringing rest to the lost and hurting people who need salvation. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. Jesus is our rest. And we find rest in him whenever he saves us from our sins, our spiritual infirmities, and we find the peace and the rest and the reconciliation with God. He rescues us. I want to close tonight by just 3 reflections on the Sabbath. Just want you to just stop and think about the Sabbath rest for a little bit. it's not something we think a lot about because it's not part of the new covenant that we have, but just stop and try to take in the fact that God wanted his people to enjoy rest. And what does that mean about our relationship with God? And what applications can we make from that? First thing I want to reflect on is that rest is what we all need and deep down what we all desire. We may not realize it, but deep down within us, we all need and crave hungrily the rest that God has prepared for us. The life that we live in right now is hard. I mean, it's a hard world. It's a hard life because of disease, because of hatred, prejudice, war, because of sickness, death, because of sin. The world that we see now is the world that is a result of the fall in Genesis chapter 3. All of those curses, all of the suffering goes back to the fall of man. Jesus' offer is for those who realize they have fallen. We all hunger for that rest. Remember what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 11, in his invitation, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Do you feel that weight of the world? Do you feel the weight of maybe your own failures and your own sins? Jesus is offering this to you then. If you are weary, if you're heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Jesus is offering you rest for your souls. By the way, need to mention this. Sometimes it's said that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. I don't think that's the case. There's nothing in the Scriptures and the New Testament that connects the Sabbath day specifically to Sunday. The Sabbath day was a day that foreshadowed Christ and his coming. Sunday is the Lord's day. And it's the Lord's day that we remember what the Sabbath day foreshadowed, his resurrection and the rest that we have in him. The day, the Lord's day, is not spoken of in those terms in the New Testament. The Sabbath day is an entirely different thing. So we need to stop thinking and speaking about Sunday being the Christian Sabbath. It's just not that in the New Testament. Rest, though, is what we want. That's what we need in this life. I want you to reflect on the fact that God's commandments are not burdensome. God hasn't given us commands to burden us. In Jesus' day, God's commandments became burdensome because the Pharisees made it so. But the Sabbath day was not made to be a burdensome thing. All of these nitpicky things that they had to measure, how much you can walk, how many footsteps you can take before you're now working on the Sabbath day. You know, what exactly defines laboring, what actually defines kindling a fire? I was talking to someone recently who works with an Orthodox Jew. And the Orthodox Jews stringently keep those same traditions of the Pharisees. One of the things that Orthodox Jews do not do on the Sabbath day is use electricity. Because if you flip a light switch, there's a tiny spark that's kindling a fire, they say. God's Sabbath was not intended to be like that. The Sabbath day was not intended to be a burdensome thing to us. Listen again to what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." I'm going to lift your burdens, in other words. Then he says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke that is described here is something that we do put on our shoulders. Jesus takes off the heavy burdens of the world and our sin, but he puts something else on our shoulders. He puts a yoke. The yoke that's being described here is the discipline of discipleship. Rest does not mean we do nothing. It doesn't mean inactivity. It doesn't mean laziness. But it does mean that we are following Jesus' commands. But those commands are not the heavy burden that we often think that they are. Do we see that yoke as heavy? Do we see that yoke as burdensome and weary? I think sometimes we do. Sometimes we focus on the don'ts of Scripture. and we don't think about the do's of Scripture, the good things God has given to us in joy, the pleasures and the good thing, the good gifts of life that we are free to enjoy in this life, God's commandments are not intended to be looked at as heavy or burdensome. And so we need to approach our Christianity with a very different kind of attitude. We need to approach it not with, a Christian is a person who doesn't do all those things and therefore doesn't have any fun. A Christian is one who is free to really have a fulfilling life, free to enjoy life as God intended to be enjoyed. How do we think of evangelism? God has commanded us to go into the world. When I talk about that from the pulpit, do you just kind of sit there and you think, well, that's such a burdensome reminder that I need to go into the world? Maybe we're burdened because of the fact that we're not doing and our conscience gets to us. The command to evangelize is not a burdensome command. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. Now, it doesn't look the same for every single one of us. I may not do it the same way that you do it. Our personalities are different. Our opportunities are different. But evangelism is not meant to be a burdensome thing to us. How do we view, studying our Bibles? Do we view that as, oh, it's just something I have to get done during the day? Or do we take that time and do we really rest in studying the Scriptures of God? And how do we think of worship? Do we think of that the way the people of Malachi thought of it? It's such a burden to me. I know that we wouldn't intentionally think of it that way, but underneath all of what's in our heart, is that really the way? Do we enjoy? Do we find rest in those things? Do we find rest in our relationship with God as we're worshiping our Creator, worshiping our Deliverer and our Redeemer? Do we find rest in that? And that leads me to our third and final reflection, that this rest that Jesus brings to us is a peaceful, joyful, fulfilling relationship with God. That's the rest that Jesus brings us to. It is the salvation and the reconciliation that we have with God, but not just having our sins forgiven. Having our sins forgiven so we can be one with God and we can be at peace and find joy and fulfillment in that relationship with God. The rest that Jesus promises us here in Matthew chapter 11, I think is fulfilled in the present. He's not talking about heaven. Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 talks about heaven and the rest in that way. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, so we are to strive to enter into that rest. It's a rest that is ultimately going to be fulfilled in the greatest sense in heaven. And that's what Hebrews talks about. But Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, I will give you rest as I put this yoke on you. The rest that we have in Jesus is a rest that begins now. We can enjoy it now. What does that look like, though? It looks like the removal of the anxieties of life, where we look out in the world and we say things are just so terrible and things are so wrong. The removal of that, we rest in God because we know He's in control. And it's going to be okay. It is rest from the emptiness of a futile life. Living life just for self is not a fulfilling thing. When you try to live life just for the physical things, you will find yourself, like the writer of Ecclesiastes, hating life. Rest in Christ is the release of that burden. It is living for Christ, living for a greater purpose. It is the replacing of that with joy and the peace of God, which Paul says surpasses understanding. Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's rest. At peace with God, knowing that you're casting all the anxieties, all the cares of life on Him, all of your burdens on Him. Rest means trusting our God, who is greater than us. We can't handle the things of life. We can't save ourselves from our sins. So we trust God, who protects us, who provides for us, and who guides us. That's what rest is all about. There's an older Christian, an older woman, who said to someone one time, who was kind of struggling with something, and she was, how do I work through this? And she said to her, the purpose of this life is to rest in Christ. Give it to the Lord. Let Him handle it. The purpose of life is to rest in Christ. And I think that's the part that we miss out on. When all that we think about, when we think about the Sabbath day, is it's just been fulfilled. It's done away with. It's not applicable anymore. We don't really think about it. It doesn't apply to us. We miss that rest is what the Sabbath day is all about. The Sabbath is about resting in Jesus and enjoying the creation of God with Him. There's a story that's told of a man who was living in a poor third world country. He was driving his cart full of vegetables to market. And he came upon an old man who was carrying a heavy load. And so the man driving the cart stopped and asked if he'd like a ride. And the man was very grateful for that. He climbed into the cart and they went on their way. A few minutes later, the driver looked back and he saw the old man in the back of the cart still struggling with the load on his shoulders. The purpose of getting in the cart with Christ is to give Him the load. Tonight, if you are carrying a burden, if you are weary and heavy laden, Jesus will take that off your shoulders. Give that to Him. Let Him handle that. He is strong enough. He is big enough. Stop carrying that burden and give it to Him, and He will give you rest. As we stand and as we sing.